Justice is no party. Justice is not a picnic. When you want justice, you've got to be willing to do what it takes to get it. We have a government here that is supposed to fight for our lives when their citizens take our lives.
The Justice or Else March comes to D.C., and a physician is arrested on Capitol Hill after protesting the U.S. bombing of a hospital in Afghanistan. Then, the launch of a new effort to elevate our girls. All that and more coming up next. And welcome to Thursday's Community Watch and Comment, the on-the-ground edition for October 8th, 2015 on 89.3 WPFW, Pacifica's listener-powered station for jazz and justice in the nation's capital. On the ground and onthegroundshow.org are devoted to coverage of social justice activism on the streets and in the suites of power, whether that is here in the DMV, across the nation, or around the planet. Today is the first Thursday of our fall membership drive, and that means it's a special time set aside to encourage new members to join and existing members to renew their memberships so we can keep social justice programming on the air with these 50,000 watts and in the ears of power, in the halls of power here, in what some consider the seat of international power, right? So thank you to all of those who supported my brothers Dave Zirin and Etan Thomas on The Collision. And you can get us going on the ground by calling 202-588-9739 during this hour, or better yet, by pledging online at wpfw.org. The donate button is on the left margin of the homepage. So when you get to the donate page, make sure Thursday's Community Watch and Comment is in the menu box. Please call and call early so I can thank you on the air. We can't offer thank you gifts this drive, but I hope you do value and consider the community and activism news and information we bring every week as the thank you gift, as what we are providing for your new or continuing support. My goal is only $500, and I know some people could just write a check for that, but, you know, if you can, please do. But I know we can far exceed our goal. So as usual, we have a lot packed into this less than an hour, the run-up to this Saturday's Justice or Else rally, the 20th anniversary of the Million Man March that will take place on the National Mall. We'll talk to the D.C. chapter of the National Black United Front. Also, what one doctor is doing to focus on and help girls in the DMV, and another doctor who got arrested this week protesting the U.S. bombing of that hospital in Afghanistan. They're both in the studio with me today. So we do have a lot, starting with all our activism headlines. The Justice or Else March, marking the 20th anniversary of the Million Man March, is set to kick off this Saturday, October 10th, beginning at 10 a.m. on the National Mall. The gathering, spearheaded by the minister Louis Farrakhan of the Nation of Islam, is focused primarily on ending brutality and murders by police and justice for all people of color. In describing his motivation for the gathering, Farrakhan said that African Americans are going to protest to get what is due from this country.
Justice is no party. Justice is not a picnic. When you want justice, you've got to be willing to do what it takes to get it. We have a government here that is supposed to fight for our lives when their citizens take our lives. Eric Holder said, well, with Darren Wilson, we just couldn't reach the threshold to charge him. And then he turned around and sent a report scathing that the police in Ferguson were giving black men and women tickets, forcing them to pay for little teeny things that helped them to be able to pay their bills. and the city administrator, after they made several million dollars off of poor black people, said, next year, can you get 10% more? It's on you. How long can you take it? How long will we take it?
According to reports, the Capitol Hill police have had their own controversy in the run-up to Saturday. The intelligence office of the Capitol Police said last month in an email newsletter that Farrakhan, quote, has been accused of inciting violence against both Caucasians and police officers, end quote. Capitol Police Chief Kim Dean said that the newsletter was, quote, rescinded as it was not authorized, reviewed, or approved by the chief of police, end quote, adding that the department prides itself on protecting the rights of people to peaceably assemble under the First Amendment. But James Conskos, president of the Capitol Police Officers Union, has called for Dean's resignation, telling the Washington Post that many officers took exception to the race-baiting tone of the newsletter and noted that both the original Million Man March and its 10th anniversary were peaceful gatherings. In contrast, there are anti-Muslim rallies planned for Saturday across the country, including some where attendees are being encouraged to carry guns. Power DC, a broad community coalition of activists that has been successful in its grassroots effort to fight the takeover of the electrical utility Pepco by the Chicago nuclear giant Exelon, is making its last stand. That's after Mayor Muriel Bowser reached a backroom deal and settlement with Exelon and Pepco earlier this week that would allow the takeover to proceed. Bowser released an email newsletter yesterday saying the deal will bring affordability, reliability, and maintain sustainability from the district's electric utility company. Earlier in the day, Power DC sent out a message saying that, quote, Mayor Bowser sold us out to Exelon, end quote. Her action is a slap in the face to DC residents and democracy. And this is continuing their quote. Mayor Bowser pushed through a settlement despite the fact that the Public Service Commission unanimously agreed that the proposed merger was a bad deal for DC. Now, with me on the phone line is a member of the Power DC Coalition and the 2.0 working group, Larry Martin. Good morning, Larry.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
So, Larry, what is Power DC doing now that this this backroom deal has been struck, and what do you want concerned members of the public to do?
Well, the Power DC Coalition is not going to go away. The mayor's settlement with Exelon is touted as bumping up the payout to DC in the deal, and that's true. DC government will get tens of million dollars more to pay for various programs, including low energy income assistance. So it's not that they didn't improve the deal. Each ratepayer will get some $50 credit, enough for a couple bags of groceries. But what the deal does not address are the issues that we've tried to highlight, and that the Public Service Commission essentially found to be the real deal killers when they ruled against the application from Exelon. And this is a basic conflict of interest between Exelon, which makes most of its money on electric sales, and Pepco, which is structured to help its customers reduce demand for electric power through improved efficiency and things like rooftop solar.
Okay. So what would you like members of the public to do?
Well, the important thing to do is to let the mayor know that we're still concerned that it's not the deal we want. I mean, when we say that the mayor has sold out Exelon, what we're saying, or I'm sorry, they've sold DC out to Exelon, what we're saying is that Exelon is not going to give us what we could get ourselves with the current utility. Right now, we can build equity in the city. We can do more to advance a decentralized power grid that will save people money over the long term. It may not get you that couple bags of groceries later on this year, but over the long term, it'll keep costs down. You've got to tell the mayor that the deal she's making is still selling us out. Go to the powerdc.org website, and we have a very easy link so that you can either call the mayor's office or send an email.
Okay. Thank you, Larry. He's with the Power DC Coalition, and that website, again, is powerdc.org. Thank you, Larry.
Thank you.
Meanwhile, Dr. Margaret Flowers, an activist with the D.C.-based organization Popular Resistance, was arrested Tuesday before the start of a Senate Armed Services Committee about Afghanistan. Dr. Margaret Flowers was arrested for speaking out against the recent U.S. bombing of a Doctors Without Borders hospital in Kunduz, Afghanistan. She was holding a sign which read, "Bombing hospitals equals war crime." We'll hear more from Dr. Flowers later in the show. Beginning in about 3 weeks, the U.S. Department of Justice will release from federal prisons up to 6,000 people whose nonviolent drug sentences were recently reduced as part of addressing the department's failed war on drugs. The move follows a decision last year by the U.S. Sentencing Commission to apply new sentencing guidelines to people who are currently serving time for select nonviolent drug offenses. According to the commission's estimates, the overall effect could eventually result in 46,000 of the nation's approximately 100,000 drug offenders in federal prison qualifying for early release. Senator and presidential candidate Bernie Sanders is one of those organizing in opposition to the Trans-Pacific Partnership, TPP, a massive trade deal that will soon move to Congress for approval. Sanders' email says that the TPP would expand the same failed free trade policies to 12 other nations that have already cost millions of jobs and shuttered tens of thousands of factories across the United States. Sanders says, to make no mistake, if TPP passes, it will further hurt consumers and cost American jobs. In this clip produced by MoveOn.org, economist Robert Reich details aspects of the TPP.
If you haven't heard much about the Trans-Pacific Partnership, that's part of the problem right there. It would be the largest trade deal in history, involving countries stretching from Chile to Japan, representing 792 million people and accounting for 40% of the world economy. Yet it's been devised in secret. Lobbyists from America's biggest corporations and Wall Street's biggest banks have been involved, but not the American public. The pharmaceutical industry, for example, they get stronger patents, delaying cheaper generic versions of drugs. Big corporations and Wall Street get an international tribunal of private attorneys outside any nation's legal system that can order compensation for any lost profits found to result from a nation's regulations. That means even U.S.-based corporations could challenge any U.S. government regulation they claim unfairly diminishes their profits. Say, laws that protect American consumers from unsafe products or unhealthy foods, that protect workers, block toxic emissions, or prevent another taxpayer-funded bailout of Wall Street. The Obama administration says the trade deal will boost U.S. exports. But the deal will also allow American corporations to outsource even more jobs abroad. In other words, it's a Trojan horse in a global race to the bottom, giving big corporations from Wall Street banks a way to eliminate laws and regulations that get in the way of their profits.
Sanders is circulating a petition that is posted on his campaign website and says that in the Senate he will do all he can to defeat the TPP. In other national news, the Justice Department says it has finalized a $2.8 billion settlement with BP to resolve all outstanding civil claims over the 2010 Deepwater Horizon oil disaster. It's the largest civil settlement with any single entity in U.S. history, but some groups are criticizing the terms of the deal for failing to stop BP from writing off some of the fines as tax breaks. Also in West Virginia, former coal company CEO Don Blankenship is on trial over a 2010 explosion at a Massey Energy coal mine that killed 29 workers. Those two items in our planet news about the planet. In Oklahoma, Tulsa County Sheriff Stanley Glantz has been indicted following the fatal shooting in April of unarmed African-American Eric Harris by a volunteer deputy that was his friend. Sheriff Glantz was a close personal friend of Deputy Robert Bates, who says he fatally shot Harris after he mistook his gun for a taser. Bates is a wealthy insurance executive who donated heavily to the police department. Meanwhile, in New York City, Police Department Commissioner Bill Bratton has unveiled new rules that will require the nation's largest police department to document virtually every instance of force by officers. The rules will go into effect next year. And the legendary Detroit activist and philosopher Grace Lee Boggs has died at the age of 100. Grace Lee Boggs was involved with the civil rights, black power, labor, environmental justice, and feminist movements over the past seven decades. In 2010, she told Democracy Now! About why it was important for the U.S. Social Forum to come to Detroit.
Detroit, which was once the symbol of miracles of industrialization and then became the symbol of the devastation of deindustrialization, is now the symbol of a new kind of society, of people who grow their own food, of people who try and help each other to how we begin to think not so much of getting jobs and advancing our own fortunes, but how we depend on each other. I mean, it's another world that we're creating here in Detroit.
Boggs died Monday at home in Detroit. And in our culture and media moment, Matt Damon's new movie, The Martian, is tops at the box office, and two movies about social justice are set to open in the DMV. He'd Name Me, Malala, a look at the events leading up to the Taliban's attack, a young Pakistani schoolgirl for speaking out on girls' education and the aftermath, opens tomorrow. And next Friday, October 16th, Beasts of No Nation, based on the novel about a child soldier in Sierra Leone, opens. And of course, Black Panther's Vanguard of the Revolution is still in theaters. Next, the Young Playwrights Theater is seeking young people to participate in its Young Playwrights Workshop, a student theater ensemble for students in grades 8 to 12. The group meets every Wednesday afternoon from 4:15 to 5:45 p.m., except for holidays. And over the course of the school year, students will learn about theater and creative writing, write and perform their own original play, which will be presented as part of the 2016 Source Festival on June 13th next year, make friends from other schools and neighborhoods, earn community service and or internship hours, and earn a stipend of up to $200. All meetings take place at the Josephine Butler Park Center at 2437 15th Street, Northwest D.C. And for more questions or information, please email Farah Harris, fharris at yptdc.org, or call YPT's office at 202-387-9137. That's 202-387-9137. And finally, On the Ground was on hand last Friday to celebrate the 10th anniversary of Bus Boys and Poets, D.C.'s own progressive homegrown cafe for food, fun, and art. Founder and owner Andy Shalal talked about his vision and plans.
You know, when I first opened the first place, I had no idea it was going to last this long. I had no idea people were going to love it. I knew I wanted something that I loved doing. And unless I could continue doing that, I didn't want to continue doing it. We continue to grow, and they continue to demand it in their neighborhood. So we just, as long as people want more of this, I'll continue to give it to them.
So what's next for Bus Boys and Poets? How many restaurants do you have now, and how many are you going to open?
We have 6 Bus Boys and Poets. We have Edenville. We're opening another one in Southeast, across the street from the Big Chair, Bus Boys and Poets. So that's really my main focus at this point, because that was something that I wanted to do for a long time, is to create the place east of the river. I was always surprised at how little amenities there are there, and yet people there want those amenities. Many of them can afford it. They have to cross the river to get them. So I want to put it where they want it.
The restaurant there is going to be a model, some kind of opportunity center, or it's going to be a training center.
We're working on the details on the training center, what type of training center might be. We're looking at different options, a bakery being one of them, to teach people how to bake, how to become bakers. Makes it a great job. It's a great place for people to learn a skill that is marketable and that pays a living wage. So we want to be able to maybe possibly put a bakery there. But it's going to be a full-fledged restaurant, Bus Boys and Poets, with a stage, with open mic, with music, with all the things we do.
And those are our headlines and happenings. When we come back, two doctors playing an active role for our health and survival, Dr. Margaret Flowers and Dr. Chuchu Onwuachi Saunders. Stay with us and go to 202-588-9739 or wpfw.org. Click on the red donate button on the left to give. We'll be right back. Welcome back to On the Ground. I'm Esther Averam, and before I go to my next guest, I want to remind everyone to become a new or renewing member to Jazz and Justice in the Nation's Capital by calling 202-588-9739. For only $10 a month, you can become a sustainer, or you can even do $20 a month. And if you can afford that, we'd love you to become a sustainer today. I'm joined in the studio by two doctors, like I said, playing an active role, an activist role for our health and survival, Dr. Margaret Flowers and Dr. Chuchu Amwachi Saunders. As I mentioned in the headlines, Dr. Margaret Flowers is an activist with the D.C.-based organization Popular Resistance. She was arrested Tuesday before the start of a Senate Armed Services Committee hearing about Afghanistan. And Dr. Margaret Flowers, who is a pediatrician, was arrested for speaking out against the recent U.S. bombing of a Doctors Without Borders hospital in Kunduz, Afghanistan. She was holding a sign which read, "Bombing hospitals equals war crime." Welcome to the show, Margaret.
Thank you for having me.
And also, Dr. Chuchu Amwachi Saunders is also a pediatrician and former medical epidemiologist with the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, CDC, where for over 10 years, she was involved with issues related to children's health and youth violence prevention. She likes to be Dr. Chuchu. Is currently a public health consultant and author of a children's book for girls entitled Oops, the book every girl must have. Her new venture is also called, which is also called Oops, is providing innovative, socially conscious product services and social media messaging to tween girls that's between the ages of 8 and 14 to empower them, you know, within their own bodies and as they go along the path of puberty. So welcome to the show, Chuchu.
Thank you, Esther. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. So, Margaret, I want to start with you. I'm having a little problem with my headphones, so I hope that it doesn't sound in my headphones the way it sounds on the air.
Sounds great.
On the air. Okay. But I wanted to start with you. Yesterday, the Obama administration apologized for the strike on the hospital. And let's hear White House spokesman Josh Earnest making the announcement yesterday and then get your reaction to that.
This morning from the Oval Office, President Obama spoke by telephone with Doctors Without Borders International President Dr. Joanne Liu to apologize and express his condolences for the MSF staff and patients who were killed and injured when a U.S. military airstrike mistakenly struck an MSF field hospital in Kunduz, Afghanistan over the weekend. The President assured Dr. Liu that the Department of Defense investigation currently underway would provide a transparent, thorough, and objective accounting of the facts and circumstances of the incident, and that if necessary, the President would implement changes that would make tragedies like this one less likely to occur in the future. After completing that call, the President telephoned Afghan President Ashraf Ghani to express his condolences for the innocent loss of life in that incident. The President commended the bravery of Afghan National Defense and Security Forces in securing Kunduz, and noted that he looked forward to continuing to work closely with President Ghani, the Afghan government, to support their efforts to provide security for the Afghan people.
Okay, so that's Josh Earnest speaking yesterday. So this is after you were arrested. This was after the protest at the Senate hearing. What's your response to that?
Well, I think the response is that we need to continue to support the Doctors Without Borders call for an independent investigation of this incident. Last Saturday morning, U.S. forces bombed the only hospital that provided trauma services in the northeastern part of Afghanistan in Kunduz that served hundreds of patients a week. And under the Geneva Convention, for more than 150 years, medical personnel have been, the convention is that we protect them. And so initially, I think what's concerning is that the initial response by the U.S. military was first to deny that this happened, to say that maybe there was some, you know, fighting nearby that caused some collateral damage. That then they backed up and said, oh, well, no, the Taliban were actually on the hospital grounds, and that's why we were firing at the hospital. And then finally, when they were pressed further with facts, they had to admit that, no, this actually was U.S. chain of command gave the order to bomb this hospital. And 22 people were killed, including 10 patients, including a nurse who recounted that children were burning, literally burning in their hospital beds, and they couldn't do anything about this. So this is a truly traumatic, outrageous thing that happened. It should never happen again. It shouldn't have happened in the first place. And we can't trust the U.S. military to investigate itself, given it's already been trying to cover up what's going on. So I think that we should support Doctors Without Borders. And if you go to their website, you can do that. And what they're basically saying, we want to gather the evidence and perhaps pursue charges against the U.S. military under international law.
What steps need to be taken to have an independent investigation?
That's a great question, and I think that what they're going to need is an international body like the United Nations to step in and send a fact-finding mission to that area so that they can determine, you know, what actually happened, gather evidence. We also learned this morning that there is, I believe, maybe video or audio evidence of what was happening inside the U.S. military chain of command when that decision was made. So that needs to be released so we know exactly how this happened. You know, and I think Chuchu can relate to this. As a physician, when you have a bad outcome, you don't lie about it. You do a review. You bring all the people in that were involved and you say, where did the system break down that caused this to happen and what mechanism can we put in place to prevent that from happening again? We're not seeing that kind of messaging coming out of the U.S. military in that. I think demanding this independent investigation from the UN initially is the first step.
You know, both of you being pediatricians, it's just fortuitous that it happened that way. And I want to get to your project, Chuchu, but I also want you to be able to comment on this issue that's more in the international sphere. And because as this was happening, I also read a news item that said that the U.S. is now the lone member of the United Nations that has not adopted the Children's Rights Treaty. And, you know, this goes directly to children's health and whether they can be, forced into labor, trafficking, all kinds of things. And I wanted to bring that up as a way of also segueing into your project, Chuchu. Do you have any comments on this treaty?
I think the truth speaks for itself. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think that many nations have, or many advocates have cried out about the fact that children are not being considered the way that they need to be considered. They're our life force, basically. They're so important. We're not nurturing them the way that we would want them to be nurtured because we need them. I mean, they're our future. And I think that the treaty speaks for it. The fact that it's not in place speaks for itself. I don't think there's anything to be said. Yeah.
And also when I think about the environmental activists that I've had on the show, most of them, if not all of them, have talked about how this is for the next generation and the generation after that. So all these issues become interconnected, whether it's war, environment, economic justice. And so it winds up being for our children. And if we want to care for not only our children, but their children, right?
Yeah, I think both Morgan and I agree that there is a very comprehensive definition of health and well-being. I mean, it involves all aspects of our life. I think we've been led to believe it's only physical. It's not. It's more than that. It's our physical, it's our mental, our emotional, our spiritual, socioeconomic aliveness, environmental health is now in there, war and peace, whatever it may be. So, yeah, those are all important.
Did you want to comment, Margaret?
Well, I think I was really, I agree with everything that Dr. Chuchu said, and it is all very much connected, and we are heading down a path that we can see as adults is a path that leads to a very bleak future and possibly not even having a livable future for our future generations. And so I believe that we live in a very critical time where we act and more people are waking up and are taking action, which is exciting to see. And I was really glad to see you mention the Trans-Pacific Partnership because that's another battle that we've been engaged in for a number of years. The negotiators reached agreement on Monday But it is not a done deal yet, and we are continuing to fight, and there are actually opportunities coming up in D.C. very soon, which I'd love to talk about if you have time, or we can do that on another show, where people can get involved, where it's really mandatory that we fight these agreements.
Well, you know, if you can stay with us, we can definitely get back to that in the second half, because I wanted to go to a brief break, and when we come back, we can pick up, and you can talk more about your project, Choo Choo, and then we're going to also talk about the march coming up on Saturday. All right. So, in the meantime, thank you for both of your work, and I also want to take a moment now to appeal to our listeners. But before I do that, I want to thank Al from Virginia for making a very generous pledge. I don't know if he's a new or renewing member, but ding, 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 ring the bell for Al. I don't have a bell, but thank you so much, Al, for your very generous pledge to help us make our goal today. And I want you listening right now, I'm talking to you, to join Al if you need to make, if you need to become a member for the first time, or if you need to renew your pledge. Because I know you value hearing these voices that you won't hear anywhere else, because I know you value hearing the voices of activists, like when, for example, Pope Francis was just here, and we had activists on the ground talking about Catholicism, some of the traditions of social activism in the church, some of the ways that they have problems with the racism and the other the sexism within the church. Throughout this whole year, you know, we've been on the air since last May, and just even I'm thinking so much about the formerly incarcerated men out in Baltimore who we played their whole entire rally that they had in downtown Baltimore, talking about how the new Jim Crow, basically, and about how they aren't allowed to vote. And so right here in our own backyard, here in the DMV, this is in Mississippi, this is in Alabama, we have people who are being denied the vote basically because of the color of their skin. So 202-588-9739. I know you appreciate this coverage. I know you know that we are in serious times, and serious times demand that we have a media outlet that allows us to raise our voices and be heard in the halls of power, and to be heard by each other. 202-588-9739 is the number to call, or you can pledge online at wpfw.org. Again, consider becoming a sustainer. I just need really three more people to pledge at $10 a month. But if you can afford $20 a month, we'll go over our goal for the day. So when we come back, Margaret and Choo Choo will stay with me, and we'll have two organizers who will be on the ground Saturday for the Justice or Else March. Stay with us.
The name of this tune is Baltimore Goddamn, and I mean every word of it. New York got me so upset. Ferguson makes me lose my rest, and everybody knows about Baltimore, goddamn. Florida got me so upset. Chicago makes me lose my rest, and everybody knows about Baltimore, goddamn. Can't you see it? Can't you feel it? It's all in the air. I can't stand the violence much longer. Somebody say a prayer. New York got me so upset. Ferguson makes me lose my rest. And everybody knows about Baltimore, goddamn. This is not a show tune. This is real life. It's all over the news. You may have seen it too. Baltimore is more than the wire, but the lack of equality makes me wanna holler. Mothers losing their children to violence. Fear from snitching has everyone silent. Lord, have mercy on this land of mine. I pray the healing will happen in due time. It's not safe here, it may be safe there. Fear blinds you, somebody say a prayer. Don't tell me, I'll tell you. Reparations and atonement are overdue. I live in this reality, so I know. They keep on saying, go slow. Waiting for progress.
Too slow.
You'll get yours in time.
Too slow.
Why are you so angry?
Too slow.
We have a black president.
Too slow.
The end of racism.
Too slow.
You think I'm crazy?
Too slow.
Where am I going? What am I doing? I don't know. Just try to do your very best. Stand up and be counted with all the rest. For everybody knows about Baltimore. Goddamn! I mean, do we have to bring up the past? I mean, haven't you people healed from slavery and lynching? I mean, that was such a long time ago. Me, I'm a descendant of those who built this country for free. Oh, we don't want to acknowledge that so many promises made, but look at where we're at. Yes, you lied to me all these years, told me give my education and we will be peers, and speak the Queen's English like a fair lady, and you'd stop calling me Sister Pickaninny Sadie.
And welcome back to Thursday's Community Watch and Comment, the on-the-ground edition. Well, when the Justice or Else March takes place this Saturday, they will be focusing on these demands listed on the event website. It says, we want justice for blacks in America who have given America 460 years of sweat and blood to make her rich and powerful. We want immediate into police brutality and mob attacks. We want justice for the American Native American Indians. We want justice for the Mexican and Latinos. We want justice for women. We want justice for the poor. We want justice for the incarcerated. We want justice for veterans. We want land, justice or else. Now, much of the energy for this upcoming March rally came from the Black Lives Matter movement. And with me are two activists who have been on the front ground in that movement, Salim Adofo of the D.C. chapter of the National Black United Front, and DJ Wise, who is an organizer for the Justice or Else movement in New York. Good morning, Salim. Did we drop him? Is he not there?
I'm right here.
Oh, okay. All right. And good morning, DJ Wise.
Peace. How are you?
I'm fine. Okay. And DJ, I think I'm going to need you to make sure you speak up a little bit more for me.
Sure. No problem.
Okay. So I'll start with you, Salim. A lot of people are, when they heard about the march, they said, the march is called Justice or Else. And people said, or else what? So how would you respond to them? And, how can this march have an impact?
Well, no wise strategist will, reveal all of their plans, via the media. I think that justice or else is exactly what the minister said. There will be an or else. But it's also a strategy to get people there, to mobilize people around some of the issues that you listed earlier. I know we in the National Black United Front, as well as many of the other organizations that I've been working with, look at the or else as boycotts, is what the minister suggested, boycotting the frivolous spending between the day after Thanksgiving and into the Christmas holidays. And we're encouraging all people to support black-owned institutions as opposed to continuously giving those resources to institutions that don't support our community or our community efforts.
Okay. And you have an after event. Can you tell people about that? An after event here in D.C. What will that be about?
Yes, that is Justice or Else, What's Next. Oftentimes people come together in mass mobilization efforts, and then sometimes they leave without any specific plans of action. And so what we want to do is to assemble organizers around the country to come together to let people know what they're already doing. And as well, we put together a list of things that, we encourage people to do, such as form investment clubs to buy property in the black community, or support our political prisoners, join an organization, create educational institutions. So these are some of the things that we'll be talking about, and the event will take place at 1918 MLK Avenue, Southeast Washington, D.C. at WEAC Radio Station at 7:30 p.m., and the event is free.
Okay, great. So DJ Wise, I wanted to talk about the, I guess I consider more inclusive nature of this event. I remember 20 years ago when the original march happened, there was a lot of, I guess, disagreement about the maybe exclusive nature of it, that it was only for men, and a lot of women, even African American women, kind of protested what they considered the kind of patriarchal nature of the event and the focus. So can you talk a little bit about the effort, it seems, to make this march more inclusive?
Well, I think first and foremost, exclusiveness, as people point out, paint, or the divisiveness, that was more of a media spin to create a divide and conquer. As if some people that might have read, let's say, the Willie Lynch, you know, you have, like, different laws and rules as far as how to divide and conquer the black community. And that's one of the tactics, is using the man versus the woman. And the reality of all reality is, whether people want to acknowledge or not, we do have a system which is institutionalized white racism. People don't want to acknowledge it, but in the reality is, it targets the black man. And the black man, you said, you use the word patriarchal. Yes, you know, a man is a center point within the family and sort of the anchor. And if you notice, a lot of the problems that we had, like, since desegregation is, with the black man being eliminated from the family, you have a disintegration of the family, the strength, the unity. And even when you look at within the community with the warehousing of brothers that's been incarcerated, you know, deterioration of the family. So that was the focal point. So, because if we have prison, drugs, et cetera, all these different things that are targeted towards the black man, we have to galvanize and rebuild him up. A lot of sisters have got their stuff together, going to get more educated, they're getting jobs, you know. So, and the problem has been with the black man. So you have to, just like if you're sick, you have to address the symptom and fix that. So if we have all our brothers and sisters that, you know, the sisters got their act together and the brothers don't, we have to repair that. And then once you get that whole, you get the family back whole. The family is whole, then our community is whole. So there, it wasn't a sense of we're eliminating the sisters. The sisters, if they got their act together, good. But we need strong black men and strong black women so we have strong children and a strong future.
Okay. You know, I also know that people have kind of pushed back on a lot of the points you made, saying that a lot of the narrative doesn't really describe or detail the issues that black women and girls also face. And, for example, there are a lot of initiatives now, even funded federally, that benefit black boys, but really aren't focusing on girls. And I'm fortunate to have Dr. Chuchu Onwuachi Sanders here today. She's Saunders here today. She's a pediatrician, and she has a new program that fully focuses on girls. And I wanted her to talk a little bit about why she wanted to start that initiative in terms of what she observed in schools, trying to help girls here in the DMV.
Thank you, Esther. Actually, it's very interesting because a lot of my career as a medical epidemiologist was around black male-on-male homicide. And because I was known as this violence prevention or expert in that field, I was asked to come to a middle school to talk to girls who were involved in violent behavior. And something at that assembly, it was an all-girls assembly, more than 100 girls, made me ask the girls what they wanted to talk about. And what the girls wanted to talk about was their period. And I was surprised, and I said, what about your period that you want to talk about? Now, because I'm a pediatrician, I felt I could handle it, but I was like, what do you want? So they said, well, is it true that when you have a baby and you hold the baby and you're on your period, the baby will die? Is it true that if you're on your period and you sit on the concrete, your period will last longer? Is it true that when you're on your period, you can't take a bath? So they started bombarding me with all these myths, and I was like appalled because I knew that part of my training as a pediatrician was anticipatory guidance. And in that process, we were supposed to tackle all these issues, and these were middle schoolers, and they didn't have any idea. So on the spot, I coined up a story about the fact that out of my African heritage, how a period is viewed as a divine gift. is a time when a woman can take care of herself. Everybody else has to take care of her. She doesn't have to do anything. And so I had to get back to my office, and they announced to the girls that I had to go. And they went, oh. So I asked the little girls, if I could stay, how many of you would want me to stay? And all of their hands went up. And so I knew there was something there. And so I moved in this path now, and I've seen this. And what we don't understand, unfortunately, is that menarche, or getting your period, is the most significant pubertal milestone for girls and women. It sets the basis of who we are and who we become. Really, it does. And we've neglected it. We've kind of neglected it. And so that's why I'm on this movement to self-empower young girls within their bodies.
I know you told me a story about how you went to one school, I think it was here in D.C., and when you had the same conversation, one girl said, what's a period?
Yeah.
She asked you, what is a period?
Yeah.
And then tell the listeners what happened
after
that. Okay,
so actually it wasn't a school in D.C. What happened was there's a school somewhere here in the United States where they have a program for the boys. And basically the men from the community come in, just like we're talking about it now and this whole thing about men and boys and men of color and all of that activity. They came into the school, they taught the guys how to, you know, give a firm handshake, look someone in the eye, dress for success, you know, career opportunities, but nothing was being done for the girls. So the girls started complaining. So one of the teachers overheard the girls and asked, okay, well, if we had a program from you, what would you want to talk about? One girl said, I want to talk about my body. The second girl said, I want to talk about my period. And the third little girl said, well, what's a period? So the other two little girls started laughing at her. So subsequently, the teacher heard about me, reached out to me. We wanted to get books into the school, work with these girls, but you know, that funding was hard. You know, we had to get it through the approval process, all of that. At the end of the school year, the little girl who had asked, what is a period, she became pregnant. Now, these were 7th and 8th graders. So I just decided it's time. You know, I got to do this. I don't care what anybody says. I'm going to get funding. I'm going to go into schools and start it because I can see this is where we need to start. It's interesting. I talked to the teacher again on Saturday to tell her that I've just set up my GoFundMe site. Everybody should go to GoFundMe.com and put in oops for every girl. I told her I set up my site. She said, I need you to hurry up. I have an 8th grader who's pregnant now.
Wow. So the Justice or Else March will be this Saturday beginning at 10 a.m. on the National Mall. And it is, in addition to advocating around police brutality and murders, it's talking about really justice for all people of color, for women, for anybody, what I call in the 99%, really, to have justice in this country. So, Salim, if people want to connect with NBUF and, like, you maybe march with your contingent or, you know, just kind of be a part of a group on Saturday, how can they connect with you? Did I lose Salim?
No, ma'am, I'm right here.
Oh, okay, I just couldn't hear you. I'm having problems with my headphones today.
Oh, okay. You can reach NBUF at mbufdc.org. You can also reach us at 301-836-1826. Once again, that phone number is 301-836-1826. We'll be meeting at 9 o'clock at the Greater Washington Urban League headquarters at 2901 14th Street, I apologize. And we're going to proceed down to the mall from there. Then we'll be having an event, like I said, afterwards with a great cross-section of institutions and organizations. We have Brother DJ Wise, who's coming from out of New York with the Nation of Gods and Earths. We have the NACP, National Action Network, Malcolm X Grassroots Movement, as well as just some community partners.
And that will be at WEAC Radio?
WEAC Radio Station, 1918 MLK Avenue, Southeast Washington, D.C. It's free of charge. Starts at 7:30, and it's metro accessible on the Green Line to Anacostia. And we want to implement strategies and programs of action that are practical and easy to implement, where it doesn't take a lot of trying to figure out to do.
Okay. All right. And actually, DJ Wise, I wanted to perhaps give our listeners a little bit more information because the National Mall is a huge place. So where will the central kind of setup be where if people are going down to the mall? Is it like the near the Lincoln Memorial, or is it down toward the Capitol? Where is the main podium, I guess? Is he still there?
I believe the main spot will be going towards the U.S. Capitol.
Oh, okay. Actually. All right. Thank you so much. Well, we're going to have to wind up, but before I do, I want to welcome Katia, our interim program director. Thank you for joining me, Katia. Do I have some more people to thank?
Not yet. Folks are on the phones, however, taking pledges. So hopefully you will in a bit, or perhaps Chris. You know, you might come back with Chris, or Chris will do them. But we just want to implore you to call now. Esther's show is always so finely produced every week, and she really is bringing what's happening in the streets, being an activist herself, right into our studio so that you can hear it and be up to date with what's going on and figure out how you can plug in, what kind of difference you will make in the world. So please give us a call now, 202-588-9739 or 1-800-222-9739 or WPFWFM.org.
Okay. And, you know, I was trying to, recently I had to make a list for people interested in all the DC focus, particularly DC focus things that we had done. And I went through the website, and that's onthegroundshow.org, and I gathered together the DC home care workers, mm-hmm. and the Fight for 15 here,
yes,
in DC,
yes.
and the ballot initiative for, you know, $15 an hour,
right.
all these different things, you
right,
know,
right.
and all the cultural things. Just, there were just so many things, but.
And, you know, you are great at, excuse me, covering. We see Dr. Flowers here, and, you know, you took us to Occupy again and again and again when that movement. Now we have Black Lives Matter,
right.
you know, which hopefully is all a continuation. And you've given us, over the years, really, the tools to figure out, again, what we can do to help, what we can do to make a difference.
Well, we certainly try, Katia. I mean, I think that when Lou Hill started Pacifica, it was to give a voice to these very same movements. Pacifica was founded to be, and I think that WPFW was particularly founded to be a thorn in the side,
yes.
of the powers
in
that
the
be
shadow,
here.
In the shadow, you have to be a thorn.
Yes,
that's right.
Right. And so that's what we want to be here every Thursday, a thorn, but also a balm for ourselves,
right.
A way to encourage ourselves that we are on the right side of history,
right. Right. Right.
and that we want to stay a part of change.
Absolutely.
Right.
202-588-9739 or 1-800-222-9739.
Okay, so all pledges you make up until the hour will support On the Ground. I know you would like to support our programming, support the, you know, continuation of this programming by keeping WPFW on the air. But also, you can go to the website, and if you're not able to get to the phone or the computer right now, you can always call and pledge and say you want to support on the Thursday edition of Community Watch and Comment, the On the Ground edition. And even on the website, if you go after this hour, you just have to make sure Thursday edition of Community Watch and Comment is on the screen. So that will do it for us. I'm Esther Averman. I want to give a special thank to my guests, Larry Martin of Power DC, Dr. Margaret Flowers, and Dr. Chuchu Onwuachi Saunders, Salim Adofo, and DJ Wise. And thank you for supporting your station for Jazz and Justice. You can keep on calling 202-588-9739 or go to WPFW.org, and there's a donation button on the upper left-hand corner on the homepage that says Donate Now. All donations will help On the Ground meet its goal. 202-588-9739. You can reach the show at onthegroundshow.org, where you can now listen to all of our shows and past shows. Please like our Facebook and Twitter pages at On the Ground Show. Now stay tuned for the news, followed by Krista Property on the Thursday edition of Don't Forget the Blues. Raise your voice. Peace.